This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 137 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, February 7th, 2014. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by two other hosts this week, Marcus Couch, my plugin guru. Marcus, how are you doing this week?
Great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. It's a little nippy outside. Temperature's only about one, so I've got that going for me. And joined by our lovely co-host, Sarah Gooding, who I think was on a sabbatical. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I had a few Friday commitments to take care of. Family time.
I can't believe there's something more important than being a co-host on WordPress Weekly, but okay.
Really isn't, but I've just failed.
So it's okay. So we got a lot of things to get to, including our special guest, Jonathan Atkinson, and he's going to sort of tell us how he's been able to make a living on ThemeForce. But before we get to that, let me ask you, would you attend a WooCamp? This is a question I proposed in a poll earlier this week on WPTavern.com. It turns out that the usual WordPress meetup in San Francisco, instead of talking about WordPress in conjunction with the group, they did their first sort of WooCommerce meetup at the event. And they had a big turnout, judging by the picture I saw, and it was a good success. And I asked an individual, an employee of WooThemes, if they were planning on doing a WooCamp anytime soon. And they said that they're working on it, and there might be something in the pipes for third quarter of 2014. I put this poll together asking people if they would attend, and so far, out of a total of 75 votes, 41 people have voted that they would attend a WooCamp if it covered all things Woo, and 17 votes for just WooCommerce, and then the rest pretty much weren't interested. So, Marcus, would you attend a WooCamp?
No.
And Why not, mister?
I don't do enough in it to warrant me having to go travel to do this. I think the model for WooCamp should be like what WordSesh was. It should be online type of environments where there's presentations online, because otherwise I don't think there's a market for it.
Really? Well, I mean, we just saw an article not too long ago that WooCommerce is now powering 10% of those using e-commerce solutions. Of course, you know, there's a lot going into those numbers, but it seems to me like there's enough interest and market share out there to where they could have a Woo type event.
Well, it all determines basis. The determination is basically, you know, what kind of sponsorship arrangements you can get for this, right? I mean, because that's ultimately what this is going to be. Because if this is a commerce-driven product, you've got all these paid plugins, paid services, paid everything else that goes along with it. Those people are the ones that are going to have to step forward from the marketplace into the user base, so to speak, so they can, you know, kind of make this happen. Otherwise, it'll never happen.
I would attend a WooCamp just so I could be there for the first one and see how it goes. I think it'd be interesting. But in speaking of sponsorships, web hosting company WireTree has become a WordCamp pillar sponsor. So what that means is the pillar sponsorship program is a package set up by WordCamp Central that enables businesses to sponsor multiple WordCamp events without having to go through the hassle of sponsoring them individually. So it's awesome that WireTree will in fact be sponsoring all North American-based WordCamps in 2014. So that's pretty cool. And that means it's more money for those who are organizing and a little less headaches on their part when it comes to setting up a WordCamp event in their area. I haven't heard much about WireTree within the past few years, but as I understand it, there's a lot of WordPress consultants using them, and I've heard a lot of good things about WireTree through the grapevine. Are you familiar with them, Marcus?
I'm not, but isn't that the perfect kind of a sponsor for a WordCamp? Is somebody
Yes.
who doesn't get intrusive and in our face about their product?
Yeah, I think so. I was wondering how they came to the decision to sponsor WordCamps, and Zach Cogswell, the president of WireTree, just agreed that it would be a good fit. They were It was a suggestion brought on by a client that used both WordPress and was attending a WordCamp, and got in touch with WireTree, said, hey, maybe you want to sponsor this event. And so they did. Started out in WordCamp Chicago, and they've had such a great experience between the WordCamps they've already sponsored that they decided, let's go all in. And now they're sponsoring all North American-based WordCamps. So congratulations, WireTree, and thank you for doing that.
Yeah, there's no downside in hitching your wagon to WordPress at all as far as a corporate standpoint goes. So I applaud them. I thank them for their sponsorship of WordCamps. It's great.
Yeah, so speaking of WordPress 3.9, we're in February now, so March, we're about 2 months away from possibly seeing the release of 3.9 on Tax Day. The widget customizer has been approved to be added to 3.9. And Sarah, you have more information about this, but the last time I checked, I think it needs a little bit more work.
Yeah, they're still polishing it up a little bit, but it's gotten the green light based on the contributors' conversations in the weekly meeting this week. And so it's going to be merged, and we're going to see it in 3.9 if everything goes well. I think it's really exciting because the opportunity to do everything related to widgets in the customizer is going to help people feel more at ease while customizing their site so they're not editing widgets blind.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, the widget customizer was created so that when you, with WordPress right now, if you were to add and edit widgets on WordPress, you'd have to save the changes, load the front page, and see what's going on. And what the widget customizer is based on the concept of the theme customizer, where you can preview things and see how they're working and how they'll look on your site before you can actually click the save button. And so you'll be able to see things in real time using the widget customizer. So have you used it yet? And if so, what's your initial feedback on it?
Oh, I like it. I think it's fun. I've tested it out a little bit. It's cool because it lets you do more than just edit your widgets. It also has live previews for adding a new widget, reordering your widgets, dragging them to different sidebars, or removing them entirely from the page. So it does a lot more than just, you know, let you add new text and see it in the preview. It's pretty comprehensive when it comes to managing your widgets.
Yeah, it's nice to see widgets sort of getting some individual improvements since it's been a long time since widgets have seen any action. It's been a couple versions, although they've had a little bit of improvements added in 3.8. So nice to see that. And you also gave us some heads up on BuddyPress 2.0. Apparently development has kicked off and the release is set for mid-April.
Yep, it's it started this week, and they're set on the features that they want to include. We should see it in mid-April if everything goes okay. And there's a lot of stuff that's happening under the hood. Apparently, Boone has been working on speeding it up and helping BuddyPress perform better. So he's doing a lot of those things, which may not be as visible new features. Probably the most visible feature that we're going to see is profile editing within the WordPress admin. And that's pretty exciting because before, the admin would used to have to go to the front end and then find the user's profile and do it from there. So it's kind of disconnected. But now you can do everything from the back end once the next version hits.
Yeah, I think another major feature is that BP Forums will be retiring. So I think that will be in place of BB Press.
Yeah, pretty much everybody uses BB Press with BuddyPress these days.
And one of the other additions slated for 2.0 is a new template pack, so that a couple of new things to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to round it out for the headlines this week. Let's get on with our special guest here, Jonathan Atkinson. And I think this is going to be a great conversation. Jonathan is actually the first person I've had on the show that makes a living using ThemeForest. He makes up one half of the team that makes up Creative. That's Creative CR3ATIV. I believe that's LeetSpeak, which is a theme development shop that primarily uses ThemeForest to make a living. Looks like a husband and wife team. And Jonathan, thank you very much for being part of the show today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So other than what I just said there about how you're making a living, sort of give us an intro. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with WordPress theme design.
Sure. Well, I started in, I believe it was 2000. Flash was the big thing. And I started to create Flash animations and then Flash websites for clients. And eventually
Wait, you too?
Yeah, so me too. Yeah.
With our guest we had on last week, the same thing, was involved with Flash and Flash templates.
Yeah, it's like that black spot, I think, on every WordPress developer's history. I still enjoy Flash, but it's got its place and it had its time. So I moved on to HTML templates, and then I actually started a template store online where I sold HTML templates, and it was called Web Template Factory. It went okay, but it didn't pay the bills, so I gave up with that and moved back on to client work, and eventually I stumbled across ThemeForest and started to sell HTML and then email templates and landing pages, and of course then I realized that the money was in WordPress. You know, why sell something for $12 when I can sell something for $35? And I started off by hiring freelance developers to convert my HTML into WordPress, because primarily I'm a designer and not a developer. I can get into enough trouble with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, so PHP was kind of out of the question for me. Things picked up and started selling, and I was training my wife on how to code HTML and CSS, and she just took off from there. Got into WordPress, learned WordPress, and basically that was the start of selling WordPress themes.
And how long did that take in between the time that you first started going from
HTML
selling your own scripts into ThemeForest?
I think I was probably on ThemeForest for about a year and a half before I got seriously into it. I kind of started it on the side thinking, well, you know, I'll throw something up here and see if I can earn some pocket money. And I did, and I realized that the more effort that I put in and the more products that I put on sale, the more money that I could earn, and maybe I could get it to the point where, you know, I don't need these client people and the headaches that come with them.
Did you find a lot of repeat buyers from the people that would buy your previous things and follow you just from the social aspect of ThemeForest as well?
Absolutely. I think at the beginning of ThemeForest is very much more community focused. There wasn't as many buyers and there wasn't as many authors, and obviously there wasn't as many products. So people got to know you a lot quicker. They had more direct communication with you because you weren't selling in vast numbers. And, you built up basically a buyer base on ThemeForest, those people who would get excited about your new products coming out and would always buy them, give you great feedback and everything else. So, repeat buyers, definitely.
Before there was WordPress themes and all that other jazz, the one place I went to that had everything under the sun was Template Monster. How come you didn't get involved with them and sell some of your wares on Template Monster?
That's kind of a complicated story. Like I've mentioned at the very beginning, I actually had my own HTML template store, and I started that at exactly the same time as Template Monster. I thought that I was the first guy out there, and then lo and behold, Template Monster like tweaked in a week before I went live.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
Well, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
There's a long history there with Template Monster that I'd rather not go into. It didn't work out for me. And, you know, at the time, and I don't know if it's the same, it is literally years since I went to Template Monster. But they never, basically, it was more like a storefront. There was no invitation to become an author. And I think that was the difference when ThemeForest came on, was their homepage was really split in two. It was either buy or become an author and look how easy it is. So that's why I went with ThemeForest.
Becoming an author on ThemeForest, obviously they have different tiers of theme authors, and you're listed as an elite author. And what does that mean necessarily?
It just means basically you sold a ton of stuff. I mean, in essence, that's what it means. It is no indication of your quality, no indication of your support or your product. It just means you sold a lot of stuff.
So monetarily, how successful has your business been using ThemeForest?
Well, you know, it's been pretty good. I've been a member now for 6 years, and I would say half of that time has been dedicated towards ThemeForest. Certainly in the last 3 years, I've put a lot more effort into it. But between starting on ThemeForest, you know, I've run a successful client-based web business on the side. I've also freelanced out to agencies. And I even started up a web development company, moved to Florida. So it's kind of been, it's a difficult question to gauge, but I can tell you, you know, we're a family of six, and it's managed to put food on the table and a roof over our head. So in that sense, it's been very successful for me.
So it's not like you're rolling in dough like some of these other ThemeForest authors.
No. No, I just, you know, I'm just... hard working, hope to make enough money to pay the bills at the end of the month, and I do comfortably. It's a lifestyle. You know, you can either go out 9 to 5 and work for somebody else and hope that you get a paycheck at the end of the week and that they don't go bust, or you can steer your own destiny and put in as much effort as you want to put in and earn as much as you need to earn. And that's basically what I've done, and I'm happy for the opportunity to be able to sit at home and create things that I feel that other people want and sell them at an unbelievable price, but still make a good living. So, you know, it works. And now, of course, there's two of us. There's myself and my wife. So it pays both of our wages, and, you know, we pay the taxes, and that's it. It's a good deal.
Does your wife sell themes on ThemeForest as well, or does she primarily support? What is her aspect in the business?
Her role is do everything, basically, and I do nothing. I'm just the spokesperson. No, I'm purely the designer. I come up with the concepts, the ideas. I do the tweaking of everything after. She's coded everything up, but basically she creates the framework, creates the code, she supports the products along with myself, and she's the technical person, and I'm the eye candy guy.
She makes the cake and you make the frosting.
There you go.
So you have your ThemeForest profile in your area of the website, but you also have a website called Creative. What's the purpose behind the creative website? How does that tie in to what you're doing on ThemeForest?
You know, it's actually a recent site. I've owned the domain now for a while, but I've never done anything with it. I guess I'm the usual web developer. I'm always too busy making products or developing other people's sites and never get around to my own. So recently I created the site, and I just see it as a poster site right now. It's basically, if you want to come and see who we are, what we do, we list the products there and we link through to ThemeForest. We also use it as a distribution hub for our plugins that we've just started creating for our themes.
Oh, okay. Because you know, usually you have everything's handled on the ThemeForest side of things, and usually the website is just, hey, this is what we're doing, and sort of pointing back to ThemeForest and other information,
you know,
like that.
Right, which basically it does right now, but I also see it as a one foot on the ladder of being able to break free of having all my eggs in one basket, which is basically my case right now with ThemeForest.
Yeah.
You know, probably I'd say about 80% of the income for the household comes from ThemeForest, and that's never a good thing. So, you know, having a separate website and being able to put our products on there leads to the possibility of us being able to put more unique items for sale from our own site. Certain restrictions that are in place with Envato and selling on their marketplaces, of course, wouldn't be an issue. And when I mean certain issues, such as you can't bundle items together, I would dearly love to be able to just, you know, themes get old over time, and they're not a good representation of what it is that you're building now. So the only thing that you have available to you when you're selling on ThemeForest is to either A, remove the product, which is not a great thing because you could have hundreds or thousands of buyers that bought that product, and then suddenly they're just dead in the water. The other alternative is to constantly update. The issue with constantly updating, especially very old themes, is the amount of time and dedication that has to go into updating that product. For example, you know, if I made a WordPress theme 4 years ago, the chances are it's not going to be responsive, but it's an absolute requirement these days. So having to go in and retrofit something is so difficult and time-consuming, and there's actually no promotional benefit in the marketplaces for updating of items, which I feel is something that Envato should really work on, because, you know, ultimately we're here to provide a good product and good support and ongoing updates to a product to ensure that it's a worthwhile purchase from a buyer. And Envato don't seem to be geared up to encourage that.
You know, you had mentioned earlier about creative and how you're sort of setting yourself up to not have all your eggs in one basket. And that from what I've seen, it definitely seems to be the trend amongst a lot of the more established or popular authors on ThemeForest is, okay, well, they have this traction, they have this audience, these people know that I do good work, and so they've been setting up websites on the side, and all their newer products they've been putting on their newer website, so they're able to not deal with any restrictions that are there on Envato ThemeForest, and they're also to net the profit of 100% of the sale. There's no cut there, but that seems to be where a lot of people are going, where they use ThemeForest as a launch platform.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, Orman Clark, Mike McAllister, and many more have done this, and you know, I think that everybody's, I'm not sure if it's a trend or whether people start off thinking that that's what they're going to do, they'll just use it as a launch platform. I don't think it's like that. I think it's just that you come so far in your, let's call it your theme development career, that you suddenly realize what restrictions you're under, that, you know, possibly your potential buyers for your kind of theme are not actually present anymore on ThemeForest.
And let's not forget, too, that ThemeForest is not your brand. I mean, your brand is creative, exactly. And your brand is whomever you are as a theme developer. Now, I will chime in with this just as a user. I do appreciate all of the developers out there that have their own, you know, their own site in which they not only have, you know, maybe a BB Press forum and things where people can get support directly on particular items, but it's also a nice place to go to hear about new plugins that may work very, very well with the themes. You know, they might have incorporated a new kind of slider that interacts well within the theme, or just any particular, you know, product briefings or descriptives of maybe what particular updates are that you don't see because those portals of information just don't exist within those three tabs at ThemeForest.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah, Mike McAllister, who you name dropped, said that ThemeForest is a great launch pad, but it's not a destination.
I think he nailed it.
It's a shopping cart. Let's be serious here. I mean,
well, you know,
it's a social shopping cart, really.
It is a shopping cart, but it's a shopping cart without a shopping cart.
Right.
which is one of the issues that Theme Forest, actually other marketplaces has. They have still yet to implement a shopping cart, which for 2014 is kind of ridiculous.
Well, Marcus, I don't know if you want to share this story or not. We don't have to name names, but we were talking earlier about the prospect of retiring themes or removing them or updating them. And Marcus, I know you told me about an experience you recently had on Theme Forest that that upset you, and maybe you'd like to share that story and
sure.
without naming names.
Okay. I won't name names of the theme Spotify that I bought on Theme Forest.
Oh, geez.
And no, it's actually Spotfinder. It's not Spotify. That's something different. But Spotfinder was this theme that was, and you can look it up on YouTube and all that and see the demo, but it was actually an amazing theme, one of the coolest I've seen. I was working on a local business list site for a town, for a chamber of commerce, and I was using this because it gave me a real good overlay. You could just put on the whole town and see the little icons, the pins, so to speak. And the theme worked for about 6 weeks, and then Google changed something in their scripting of the maps, and the developer disappeared, just couldn't update the theme anymore, and people were just complaining. And the guy eventually just took the theme down, just went away. The programmer that I was working with was able to figure out the problem and fix it, and it's just too bad that this guy just kind of gave up and took his ball and went home.
3 years was probably the limit.
Yeah, that's a long time to support any theme. And even in the bigger ones like, you know, Genesis, the huge ones out there, they don't really take their themes that long as far
right.
as how far they stretch out, you know, their support level. So support itself, do you handle all of that yourself just on a one-on-one basis, or do you outsource support, or how does that work?
No, you know, I've looked at outsourcing support, and I always try and look at things from the buyer's point of view, and I just don't think that outside support would give the best results to my buyers. So we split the between myself and my wife. So basically, you're receiving support from the people who made the product, and I think that that's important.
That's great.
So how many themes do you guys have, and how many hours would you say a week that you spend just supporting the themes?
Well, you know, we make, what would be the correct way of saying this, probably the less customizable themes, I think is probably the nicest way of saying it. The less bloated themes. We spend an awful long time on our documentation to make sure that we walk people through step by step on how to install and how to actually use the product. So I feel that we've got our support times and support requests down to an absolute minimum. You know, it's probably on average about 2 hours a day of support, maybe a little bit more. And we run support on the weekends as well. We even ran support on Christmas Day. But we use the Tixie system. I know that, Marcus, you were mentioning about it's really nice to be able to go to a dedicated place.
With support tickets and all that, of course.
Yeah. So we use the Tixie system by Justin Sheets, and it works great. Our buyers love it. We love it. You know, we've got a lot of facts on there. You can go check those out in case it's already been answered. You can search the existing tickets. So it really helps to cut down on support.
Yeah, another thing that I've seen that really helps out too when you have your third-party site in the terms of support is a lot of times when you have a forum and such, the user base almost answers their own questions without you having to go to support. You know, if it's one of those types of situations. And they can also share amongst each other as far as showcasing what they're doing with it, and also showcasing new ideas, new plugins, new layout techniques, things like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's kind of what I hope for with the when we join the Tixie system. But unfortunately, it doesn't really help us establish what basically you're saying is a community of help. We have not seen that, to be perfectly honest with you. It's just basically us and a buyer. Most people want to keep their tickets private simply because they're working for, you know, a client, or they're doing agency work or whatever, and they don't want the information to be public. So that really doesn't help us with that community aspect, which is unfortunate.
I guess it also depends on the culture that you kind of encourage as well.
It does.
You know, within the community. There are some that I'm involved in. Let's just, you know, they're a grouping of themes that work on one particular framework, and then each kind of sub-forum is based on a child theme within that framework. So a lot of times it's just within setup itself. It's not anything that's really a competitive nature, but there are definitely advantages to that. And then, you know, another thing is there may be, just like your ticketing service and things like that, there are many different suggestions that developers have for things that just can't be bought on ThemeForest or Envato or Code Canyon or any of that. They might be just subservices or third-party things that would tie in very nicely in specific industries or niches that you just wouldn't get otherwise, you know? So it's always a great thing for a developer to build their internal brand and their internal mailing list so that they can grow their community, even if it's just through an email list, to really engage with, okay, you've got my product, here's the canvas, you know what, this paint really works well with it, these plugins really work well with it, and that doubles the effectiveness of your theme and what it is that you can do.
Absolutely. You're right. And again, I think this kind of goes back to the whole concept of creating the creative site that we did and that we'll be building out this year. We want a lot more direct communication, basically, with our buyers because, you know, I think one of the issues that a lot of people have when they start with ThemeForest is that they're used to dealing with clients. And working with clients compared to selling a mainstream WordPress theme is that, you know, you have a clear definition from a client. You do the meetings, you sit down, you find out what the objectives are, who their user base is, and everything else. So you've got a roadmap from start to finish. When you're creating a theme for mass consumption, it's incredibly difficult to work out what it is that people want, how much they want, what they don't want, what their objectives are. There's a lot of guesswork. And basically the only feedback that you can get is, if you're lucky enough, buyers will tell you. But generally you don't get that feedback. You just get zero sales. And basically you have to create your roadmap for future products based on previous sales of themes, like, you know, why did that one sell and this one not? What was the issue there? Maybe I'd hit the wrong market. Did I give it, you know, did I put the wrong tags in there for when it comes to search on ThemeForest and things? So it's really a completely different game than working with clients.
You probably have your pulse on what's going on in the market. What types of themes are you seeing that are in high demand on ThemeForest? Is there anything in particular or any particular niche that you're seeing a lot of people want themes for?
Again, unfortunately, the marketplace is constructed in such a way that the top-selling items are always more prominent than new items or updated items. So basically what you find is when you get a runaway winner, it continues to be a runaway winner for 2 years, which is unfortunate because there's a lot of gems that people miss just by following the herd. And, you know, when you look at ThemeForest, and like I said, I've been there for 6 years now, and trying to work out trends is absolutely impossible. You know, somebody will release, you know, you'll get 10 one-page Parallax themes released in a week, and nobody's buying them. And then 2 weeks later, somebody releases one, and it sells 1,500 copies in a week. And, you know, everybody sits there scratching their head saying, well, how come all the others didn't sell?
Is it the logo? What is it? I mean,
you know, seriously, if you can tell me, we'll go into partnership and we'll clean up on theme park.
I'm going to get a consulting service going. Jeez.
It's really difficult. But yeah, I mean, trends, I will say that, you know, I always find it very interesting at the beginning of the year, all the design blogs and WordPress blogs and, you know, what are going to be the hot trends of 2014? You know, I look at all these things that they're going, that they're talking about, and it's, these have been pretty much standard for the last 6 months at ThemeForest. So, you know, as much as people like to bash ThemeForest and the items that are available, it's quite funny that a lot of the trends actually start at ThemeForest, or I should say become mainstream at ThemeForest before people even start to pick it up.
No, I talk to a lot of people in the WordPress community, plugin authors, theme authors, and from the outside looking in, ThemeForest has this reputation of sort of being like a theme dumping ground where themes look good, but they're coded poorly. And yeah. Has this reputation affected your sales at all? Or?
Well, it's a good question. When I started at ThemeForest, I'd have to say I didn't have a reputation, and therefore I can't really be affected by ThemeForest's reputation. But I understand what you're saying, and there is this ongoing thought that ThemeForest is a dumping ground, and I would agree with it. You know, the reviewers, they do an excellent job, I feel. I just don't think that in the past the levels for acceptance have been high enough. You know, we all know that they're making changes and, you know, raising the bar for acceptance, and I think that that's a good thing. I don't think that it's high enough yet, and I don't think that it'll ever get to a height that people in the WordPress community particularly want, because, you know, it is an open marketplace. If you're accepted, the product success is based on the buyer's cash, and therefore buyers dictate what it is that they want to see for sale.
Well, based on outside influence, they have changed their guidelines or their theme review guidelines to where they're sort of more in line with what the WordPress theme repository has. So I have heard that themes are definitely getting better from a code perspective. So maybe it's just a matter of time before that reputation goes away. But if somebody's looking for a theme, ThemeForest is like at the top of their list just to see what kind of variety they have. It's like the WordPress version of Template Monster.
Yeah,
in terms of variety and all the types of designs you can see.
Absolutely. It's the candy box of WordPress themes, absolutely.
But I'll tell you why I like ThemeForest from that same perspective that you mentioned is oftentimes when businesses or clients will come to me and they want to run a mini site or something specific like that, that's the first place I send them. Here, go to ThemeForest, see what you like as a canvas, and then we'll customize that.
But do you really think that that's... I'm not getting at you at all, Marcus, but you know, this kind of stems back to other questions, which is... I know that Chris Lemmer did a post the other day. I do get the feeling that Chris really does not like ThemeForest, but he mentioned the other day that, you know, that the theme that you're picking is probably not the correct one for your business. And he's absolutely right, you know, but there's a rebuttal to that. And that is that, you know, if we didn't put those fancy images and we didn't put that beautiful text and those pictures of gorgeous staff and everything else, people probably wouldn't buy it because people don't generally buy, and I'm talking about sending your client rather than you going and looking. You know, if you, as a developer yourself, go and look for a product, your idea of looking for the product and what it can do and how it's constructed are going to be completely different to your client.
That's my job as a good marketer to interpret what they like versus the technical capacity of what it is that they need. So
exactly,
I can go to them and go, okay, what flavor are you in the mood for? You know, I mean, this is just like what you ask your wife. What do you want to eat tonight? Okay, well, I'm in the mood for this and this and this. Okay, well, at least that gives me a frame of mind as far as where we can go, right?
Right.
So that's the basis of it. I need to know what they want. You know, what are you guys in the mood for this site? Mm. Instead of the traditional checklist that we all had to go through. Oh, do you want a sidebar? Do you want two sidebars? Do you want a slider? What do you want for the header? How do we do the navigation? What do you want in the footer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get a higher level perspective. You know, this stuff's in layers here. So let's get a higher level perspective of not only what they're looking for, but what are their expectations? Because then that tells me this project is going to be a dog or this is going to be a nightmare. You know, one perspective or the other. So that's why I like Theme Forest.
Yeah.
Even if I don't use those themes, it lets me know, okay, well, maybe I can build this in Genesis. All they wanted was this and this. So, you know, they like the colors. At least I can pick the colors from that perspective.
So basically what we're all saying is that clients like visual. You know, just like humans, we buy things on the way that they look. You know, I'd mentioned the post by Chris, and, you know, he'd done another post, which was that basically we don't sell benefits, we sell a better version of you. Isn't that exactly what we're doing by building WordPress themes? People go and look at the demo and they say, wow, if my site looked like this, I'd be awesome. And that's why buy it, you know?
And then they saw the theme and he said, oh my God, it's terrible.
Yeah, right. You know, and I applaud the clean nature of Chris's post, but, you know, have you ever watched television? I mean, that's all that is, you know, commercials and everything else. It's production, it's sizzle, it's...
Well, that's kind of my point. On one post, it was, you know, we sell things based on making people think that they'll look better or be a better version of themselves. But then on the other hand, it was, oh, but don't buy your WordPress theme like that. Buy it by looking at its functions. And but that's not how the majority of buyers on ThemeForest buy. They go, they look at something, they go, wow, it's awesome. Stuff's moving on the screen and things, and that's what I want.
But yet, no matter how good the theme is, we all still make an About Us page when the whole site should be about us, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, Jonathan, you make a great point, sort of a segue into this, but this sort of goes back to ThemeForest being the butt of jokes, where I want to know, how much demand have you seen from customers or even potential customers of people wanting more options? Maybe your themes don't have enough options in them, or how many sliders, option panels, and all that stuff do you have in your themes? And then the butt of the joke is ThemeForest themes, it seems like all of them have about 1 million different sliders and 32 different color schemes and everything with the kitchen sink shipped with the theme.
Yeah.
And the reasoning behind it that I have heard and that I have read is that customers are demanding that. Have you been able to see that demand in your own products?
Absolutely, but I refuse to do it, in all honesty. I don't feel that it makes a better product. I think it makes a worse product. And isn't the whole purpose of WordPress and its plugin system so that we can extend the capabilities of WordPress? Why does it need to be in a theme? If you want a different slider, go get a plugin. You know, as long as the theme is constructed in such a way that if you don't like the slider plugin that I suggest, then you can just swap it out for one that you think is better. What's the issue? You know, and it boils down, you know, you sent me that question via email, and it was one that I pondered over because, you know, you're absolutely right. There's color pickers for everything. There's like, you know, 16 different blog layout pages, this 500 Google fonts and everything else. And then I see people on the forums and they're all saying, you know, why is my site loading so slow. And it's, well, that's because you're animating everything and you're uploading your photo at 5 meg per photo. And
entire site is a slider.
And my entire site is a slider, exactly. I mean, it's got to the point where it's absolutely ridiculous. And I think what it is that, you know, at the very beginning when ThemeForest started, I think that the buyers were different. I think that the majority of buyers were developers. They may not have been full-on developers, but they certainly knew how to roll their sleeves up and do a little bit of CSS. And now we've switched over to the majority of buyers are actually the website owner. And they have no idea. They know how to upload a theme. They know how to install every plugin on Earth. And that's about it. And they just want to be able to click, choose a color, click, change that, click, change the other. And I still feel, though, that we basically, the buyer, the overall buyers, I think that we're now getting pockets of different buyers. We're getting agencies, we're getting developers, we're getting basically end users. And I think it's important, your whole point of this question is do I feel that I have to put all the options in? No, I don't. I feel that you should just create what it is that you think is correct and then try and market it towards that particular kind of buyer. You know, and it's funny
You feel like you're doing the right thing because you know it's the right thing, how things are coded, but at the same time, you're potentially throwing money away or you're not putting yourselves available to those customers.
Absolutely. I don't see an issue with that. I mean, that's just the morals that you live by. Whether you want to just go for the money, put everything in there, include 6 sliders, and you know, sell 50,000 copies, or you know, just produce some really nice, clean, useful niche products and sell a couple of 100 copies.
I prefer the latter. You and Justin Tadlock would be good friends. I think you two could share a beer together and talk about this. You know,
I must say, I've got to put my hand up and say that, you know, I was a novice WordPress person a couple of years ago, and I probably did absolutely everything wrong. But I think everybody does everything wrong first, and then we learn how to make it right. And Justin Tadlock was probably one of the most vocal people on the forums at ThemeForest, coming along and saying, guys, stop doing this. Stop putting all this stuff in. If it's a 500 Google fonts, that's fine. But use the plugin that does that. Don't integrate it into the theme. Take your shortcuts, put them in a plugin. And, you know, we didn't used to do that, but we've been on this long path now for about 8 months where we've been converting all our themes over to plugins, and we've created all the plugins ourselves. In fact, we took advice from Pippin, from Pippin's Plugins and Easy Digital Downloads, and he helped us, and he actually reviewed our free plugins for us. We sent them to him, and he checked them through, and he said, yeah, these look great, just change this and that, and we've done that, and now we're starting to integrate them into all our new themes, but also we're retrofitting them into our old themes as well, just to make sure that we're looking after existing buyers and not just potential buyers.
Now, that's interesting, because shouldn't there be some sort of a standard that, now you mentioned in the back end as far as the forums, you know, they were saying, okay, you can do step A and step B and step C to make sure that things conform. Should there be a standard that, maybe not saying that's a criteria, but maybe a certification that this theme happens to conform to the ThemeForest level 10 or whatever, you know, like that?
You know, that it's subjective, though, isn't it?
Well, if you had a committee, if you had people that were actually dedicated reviewers, much like you do in
They already have dedicated reviewers.
But somebody that could go through the proper, pre-flight, that could say, okay, this is, you know, this conforms to that, you know, you're not locked into plugins with this one or sliders. You know, this is slider independent, let's just call it.
And then absolutely.
Fonts, and those types of things.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think there's a fine line between setting out your own standards and then restricting people. You know, as much as I may personally not like the themes that I suggest are bloated with everything thrown in there, you know, there's 50,000 people behind me that disagree.
No, speaking of Justin Tadlock again,
yeah.
No, he went through, he saw what was going on ThemeForest, and he did an experiment where he went on a ThemeForest, yeah. And he created a theme that followed all of the WordPress theme review guidelines, so it passed that test so that it would be hosted there. He did everything the right way for a theme, didn't actually go out and do very much promotion, just to see if he could make a profit doing things the right way, and he ended up having 99 sales over that year.
Yeah,
and made $2,000 or $3,000. But the whole point of the experiment was to prove that you can do things the right way, you can still be profitable, and you don't have to. He was trying to use the code in his themes to educate other theme authors on ThemeForest and sort of say, hey, you know, look at my code, look at the theme that's doing it right. You know, maybe you should be doing things this way, because there's been a lot of conversation within the past few months about this topic called theme lock-in, which is using things like custom post types or custom short codes that are not transferable if a user switches themes.
Yeah.
So what's your take on his experiment? Do you think that, you know, through the guideline changes and the review guideline changes, that have, do you think he has had a big impact on themes actually improving code-wise on ThemeForest?
I do. Honestly, I do. He was exceptionally vocal and in a good way and regular on the forums and got into several heated discussions with authors who were kind of suggesting that it wasn't just because there's that way of doing it doesn't mean that it's always correct, and there's certain situations and things like that. Otherwise, you know, the argument was that everyone's going to be creating a generic theme, and then just the functionality comes from plugins, and they didn't quite understand where the value of their product was therefore represented. If basically you're creating something that 99% of the function comes from plugins that are freely available, then what is the unique selling point of your item? Which, you know, I can understand. But it's, again, I think it's a moral issue. Do you want to look after your users and do the right thing, like Justin's basically outlined here? Or do you just want to keep going the way that you want to go because you feel that it's right, even if nobody else does?
And that's an interesting question I posed to Justin after his experiment. I says, okay, take away sliders, take away short codes, take away custom post types, take away this, which is probably a bad way of doing things. How do theme authors on ThemeForest differentiate themselves amongst everyone else if they don't have one more slider or one more color scheme than that guy?
Right. And
The layout. It's really the layout, because you're breaking it down like saying, oh, it's just a painting, it's just canvas and a bunch of paint, right?
Exactly. I think it's, you know, I think there's several different facets to it. I think it's, number one, how you conduct yourself. If you're professional and you, you know, you reply to pre-sale questions and things like that, that gives you a reputation. People will then come and look at your product. But I think ultimately, as Marcus just said, it boils down to design. You know, there were MP3 players available in abundance for $20, $30, and then Apple came along and made one for $200, but made it actually look nice and work correctly. We all jumped on buying MP3 players, which were iPods. Nobody bought the crappy ones, you know? I think it's the same with themes. It doesn't have to do everything. It just has to work correctly. And I think the basis of the purchase is basically around the design. Does it look good? Which kind of brings us full circle.
But then all the way. How can I...
Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, but how then from a consumer standpoint, when you just look at the design, can the consumer make a decision for the theme? Because that's all they can see. I mean, you're not privy to the code until you've purchased it.
Absolutely.
What can a consumer do to sort through what's crap and what's a theme that'll be conforming to WordPress standards?
It's a great question. I mean, how do we work out whether a car that we're going to go and buy is engineered correctly? I'm not an engineer. I look at the bodywork and the leather trim, and I go, hey, I can see myself in this, and I buy it. I then hope that it's put together correctly. The thing is that we have brands. We have Honda and Toyota and everybody else, and we know via their marketing, via their reputation, on whether or not the products that they produce are put together correctly. And that kind of comes back to what I was just saying. I think it depends on how you conduct yourself as a business person, as a theme creator, whether you admit to your mistakes, you fix errors, you're proactive with your buyers, you're proactive with pre-sale questions. And, you know, and if it doesn't do something, be honest about it and say, no, it doesn't do that. But, hey, I think that's a really cool idea, and I'm going to put it in an update. And people have to read as well as just look, is the moral of the story. Don't just look at a demo and go, hey, that looks whiz-bang. Contact the author. Go and look at their portfolio. Look at the comments on their other items and see if they're proactive. Contact them. I get many people contacting me directly, not posting on the comment section, just sending me emails and asking technical questions before they make a purchase. And I mean, the door's open, just utilize it.
So I look at this big problem here, and it if crap sells, which basically is what we've seen here so far, the problem compounds itself. And I was thinking the only way to sort of change things is, well, you'd have to have more stricter review guidelines for a theme to be sold on ThemeForest, and you'd have to get the top sellers on ThemeForest to sort of jump on board and establish these correct ways of coding themes and functionality, and hope that everyone else sort of learns from them and gets on the same boat. I just don't know if that's going to happen because, you know, I don't know if you're just a drop in the bucket in terms of morality over money. Right. You know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, follow the money. If they could, you know, like Mike McAllister here says in the chat room, you can have the best written theme on ThemeForest, but if it doesn't have any broad aesthetic value, it will fail flat.
Absolutely.
I think another part of the problem is that many influential people in the WordPress community have just written off ThemeForest entirely. So they're not offering, you know, advice like you just gave about how to find a decent theme. They're just writing it off. And I think that's where Justin Tadlock is kind of different in that, you know, he's he jumped in there to try to reform things and to try to help from a deeper level of caring about WordPress theming. The state of WordPress theming in general, reached in to try to change that community.
I agree. And, you know, I think it's a two-way street. The WordPress community as a whole has to stop this immediate bashing of ThemeForest and the products that are on there. And I think Envato need to come forward. You know, they came forward whenever it was, maybe spring last year, and announced that, oh, we're going to introduce all these more stricter values and conditions for uploading WordPress themes. And it's going to be implemented in two phases. And the first one's going to be active. Here's a list of stuff. And it's going to come into effect in August, I think it was. And then August came, and they were still working on these guidelines and restrictions and so on and so forth. And, you know, we're now in February and nothing's been done. And this seems to be the way that it goes with Envato. I think that they're being pulled in so many different directions, and they really need to get their house in order. Ultimately, Envato are fully responsible for every single product that is available to a consumer on their marketplaces. And they are the only ones that can control that quality. They need to step up to the plate, and they need to take charge. And I think that the WordPress community could help come up with those guidelines, and basically just, you know, let's not keep changing the list. Let's just come up with a solid list, and let's put it out there, and let's stick to it, and let the reviewers open your item and go through the checklist, and if it doesn't meet it, it's not for sale. Go elsewhere.
I think those guidelines have already been created. I think the WordPress theme review guidelines, which are in the process of going through revisions and changing things to where it makes more sense, I think those are a good baseline for what Envato should have. At least have things beyond par.
Absolutely, but unfortunately, it's an unfinished list. It's one that's being revised constantly, and one that they're not implementing. So there's really only Envato to blame.
Well, I'm just saying, at least on the WordPress theme repository side, yes, those guidelines. If your theme does not conform to those guidelines, you don't get all the benefits of being able to be hosted on the WordPress.org theme repository. And of course, the reviewers work through theme authors, and they tell them, you know, what you have wrong here. And many people get an education on why things are the way they are. And if a lot of these changes were to happen over there at ThemeForest, a lot of theme authors are going to be upset. What happens when they piss off a bunch of theme authors because they have to do things a different way, and then there's the angry mob mentality? I mean, like Kyle has said, the community has been a large part of why ThemeForest and the whole Envato marketplace idea has been successful, but community can sometimes be a double-edged sword, and they can turn their backs on you faster than anything. And, you know, the same thing that made you successful could also be the thing that sort of takes you down. But I don't know if anything like that's possible with ThemeForest or some of the other marketplaces.
I don't think they're going to adopt the guidelines that they have on WordPress.org because they're two different communities and two different objectives. ThemeForest wants to make money. So, you know, if they were to restrict people from advertising and linking to other things within the admin, you know, there's not a lot of motivation for a theme developer to want to sell through ThemeForest if they have so many restrictions on how they promote themselves with their theme. So, I mean, I think there we're probably at an impasse. I mean, they're not going to adopt those same guidelines.
That's a good point, because you know immediately what would happen. Somebody would create a new theme for us, and they would say, look, no restrictions, and everybody would just go there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, again, do you – and I understand that Envato are running a business here, and, you know, a business's sole objective to a certain degree is to just make money.
I propose this, then. How about a certification that it's you know, clean code certified, something like that? And in order for them to get that certification, they've got to not only conform to it, but maybe it costs them $100 to submit it to get that verification, you know, well, verified, you know, to get it tested by somebody who's going to go through that. And then as a consumer, I think if it actually had that certification, okay, well, I know it's not going to have ads, so I know that my client's not going to see crap like that.
I just think a system like that opens up too many possibilities for the end goal not to be achieved. Too much manipulation and too much influence. I just don't see that working out well.
Yeah, it's basically what I said earlier, which is, you know, standards and rules and regulations are fine, but there's a fine line between making sure that all products are good and restricting creativity. And I think once you restrict creativity, there's no purpose for ThemeForest to exist. I mean, you know, but from the other side of the coin, does Envato want to improve its corporate image of being a good place to buy decent themes, or does it just want to become the dollar store of or you can eat themes.
Dollar store.
Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, but, you know, again, this kind of comes back to branding. You know, a brand, what do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known for quality products and an excellent system and everything else? Or, you know, just everything goes here, just come and take your chance.
Jonathan, I think it's about time we sort of wrap this up, but man, I knew this was going to be a fascinating conversation, and it turned out to be just that and more. So I want to thank you again for just coming on the program here to share your experience on using ThemeForest to make a living, and just want to wish you all the best with future endeavors and with the creative website.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the time. It's been good to speak to everybody.
And anybody else have any further questions here with Jonathan before we let him go?
No, it's been an engaging conversation. I appreciate it, and it's given me some insight in ThemeForest that I didn't have previously.
No problem. Thank you, Jonathan, for joining us. It's been great.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks a lot. So I'll link up to Jonathan's ThemeForest page within the show notes and also the creative website. Marcus, why don't you go ahead and run down your plug and picks of the week before we get on with our weekend?
All right. Well, we've got some great ones here. First one is WP Like System. It's a rating system for WordPress posts, kind of based on Facebook likes, and it really kind of mimics it so that people might actually think it is Facebook. But if you'd like something that's not tied into Facebook, but you'd like some sort of feedback mechanism, if somebody likes something and you know, they don't have to put a comment in there, this is a pretty good plugin for that. So you might want to check that out. It's WP Like System. And again, all the links to this is in the show notes. Responsive Post Preview has functionality that I think someday will be part of WordPress core. It allows you to get a one-click preview of your post, just like you would just in the desktop, but instead you can view it in either tablet or mobile format. So pretty cool thing that lets you see exactly what it looks like. Even if you've got a secondary theme handling the mobile backend, this will let you preview it in that theme. Really cool. And Jeff, I know you like this one. It's
called
WP Grass. It essentially has, you remember the old neighbor in your hood that never mowed their grass, and they might have had a car up on cinder blocks that just kept growing higher and higher. Same thing, if you don't add content to your site on a frequent basis, there will be overgrown grass in your footer that will just keep growing higher and higher. I don't know how high it gets, but it's a pretty cool plugin nonetheless. It's called WP Grass.
I love that plugin. I just love it because I think a lot of websites out there would just turn into weeds. We'd have a lot of weeds on the internet.
I think that should be built into core then.
I know. Yeah, right. Yeah. Good luck. Good luck proposing an end into the merge. Go ahead. I want to see you try. Let's see how far you get. So with that, that's gonna wrap it up here for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find the show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. Easiest way to find them is if you look at the categories link up at the top of the website, click on WordPress Weekly, and you'll see the most recent edition of the show notes on that page. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffR0. You can follow Sarah on Twitter at the cute Polly Plumber. P-O-L-L-Y-P. Almost. L-U-M-M-E-R.
Two L's, two M's.
And you can follow Marcus on Twitter at Marcus Couch, all one word. And also follow him on his personal site, MarcusCouch.com. So that's going to do it for this week's edition. Until next week, have a safe weekend, everyone.